and the woman sitting next to me starts a conversation. Despite hiding behind the book in my hands, I'm now forced into a common and sometimes unfortunate air travel situation, the gamble of talking to a stranger I can't escape from. While it's fun to be near someone interesting for occasional chats, being stuck next to a person who will not stop talking for 9 hours is my idea of hell. And you never know which it will be until after you start talking, when it's too late. Not wanting to be rude, I say hello. She asks what I do for a living, at which I pause. I've been down this bumpy conversation road many times. You see, I have two answers, and both suck. The best answer I have is I'm a writer. I write books and essays. But saying I'm a writer is bad because people get excited I might be Dan Brown, John Grisham, or Dave Eggers, someone famous they can tell their friends they met. When they learn I'm one of the millions of writers they've never heard of, and not someone whose novel was turned into a blockbuster movie, they fall into a kind of disappointment never experienced by people who are employed as lawyers, plumbers, or even assistant fry cooks at McDonald's. My other choice is worse, which is to say I'm a public speaker. If you tell people you're a public speaker, they'll assume one of three bad things. One, you're a motivational speaker who wears bad suits, sweats too much, and dreams about Tony Robbins. Two, you're a high priest in a cult and will soon try to convert them to your religion. Three, you're single, unemployed, and live in a van down by the river. I don't want to call myself a public speaker. Professors, executives, pundits, and politicians all spend much of their professional lives speaking in public, but they don't call themselves public speakers either, and for good reason. Public speaking is a form of expression. You have to do it about a topic, and whatever that topic is defines you better than the actual speaking does. But I speak about the things I write about, which can be just about anything. Calling myself a freelance thinker, as vacuous as it sounds, is accurate. But if I say it, someone would surely think I'm unemployed, just as I would if a stranger on an airplane said it to me. Yet freelance thinking is why I'm on the plane. I quit my regular job years ago, wrote 2 best-selling books, and have been hired to fly to Brussels to speak about ideas from those books. I explain all this to my newfound flight friend. Her first question, one I often hear at this point in conversations, is, "When you're giving a lecture, do you imagine everyone in the room naked?" She's half joking, but also eyeing me strangely. She wants an answer. I want to say, "Of course I don't. No one does. You're never told to imagine people naked at your job interview or at the dentist, and for good reason. Being naked or imagining naked people in the daytime makes most things more complicated, not less, which is one of the reasons we invented clothes. Despite it being very bad advice, it's somehow the one universally known tip for public speaking." I asked many experts, and not one knew who first offered this advice, though the best guess is Winston Churchill, who may have claimed imagining the audience naked worked for him. But he was also known for drinking a bottle of champagne and a fifth of brandy or more a day. With that much alcohol, you might need to imagine people naked just to stay awake. For us mere mortals, Churchill had an amazing tolerance for alcohol, you wouldn't find a single public speaking expert recommending thoughts of naked people, nor a fifth of brandy. Yet, if you tell a friend you're nervous about a presentation you have to give at work tomorrow, naked people will be mentioned within 30 seconds. I can't explain why. It seems bad advice that's fun will always be better known than good advice that's dull, no matter how useless that fun advice is. In hundreds of lectures around the world, I've done most of the scary, tragic, embarrassing things that terrify people. I've been heckled by drunken crowds in a Boston bar. I've lectured to empty seats and a bored janitor in New York City. I've had a laptop crash in a Moscow auditorium, a microphone die at a Keystone speech in San Jose. And I've watched helplessly as the Parisian executives who hired me fell asleep in the conference room while I was speaking. The secret to coping with these events is to realize everyone forgets about them after they happen, except for one person, me. No one else really cares that much. When I'm up there,